how good, even for us as believers. Turn to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 21, please. Luke 21, now it's no coincidence and this is not planned, as Len already has pointed out in the reading that he has taken, but we come to the final parable spoken by the Lord Jesus in this gospel record. Luke 21 and verse 29. Well, we'll just take verse 27. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Verse 29, and he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. So likewise, ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Just across a couple of books to the book of the Acts, past the gospel record of John, and to the book of the Acts, chapter 17. Book of the Acts, chapter 17, verse number 30. God, beginning with now, commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he would judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. And others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men came unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. After these things, Paul departed from Athens. We have taken a reading together in the gospel record of Luke as to that parable concerning the fig tree. We've been attempting to look at some of the parables in these meetings and how they apply to us and what lessons they leave on the page of Scripture for us. How we may understand a gospel, the salvation which God offers to this human race through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in the work that he completed at Calvary's cross through his death, burial and resurrection on the third day. Very significant, very real, and has an effect on every person in this room here. A wonderful, wonderful message. A message of life, a message of hope, a message of love from the living God above, that we may know and that we can know our sins forgiven. Know what it is to receive the free gift of eternal life and go on our way rejoicing, on our way towards heaven, to one day meet face to face with the Lord Jesus. And know we can enter in to divine presence for all eternity, where sin will be put away completely and we will dwell with him forever. What a hope for the believer. What a hope for the Christian. And I wonder, in the meeting this evening, do you have this hope? Or, as Len has already pointed out to us, are you just on a pathway through life And you know, really, you don't have this wonderful hope. You don't have this joy within. It's a continuous, day by day, bumbling through life. Sins unforgiven. Knowing that you have no peace with God. Well, tonight is another opportunity. Another opportunity in the gospel. Whereby you can know what it is to be made right before God. You can know what it is to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to repent of your sin, to leave it behind, and take the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We've read together concerning the fig tree and the other trees, and the Lord Jesus gave this illustration to the people for a coming day. That in this illustration, that even men can determine when summer is nigh by the condition of the tree. You would know, I would know. We see a tree blossom. We look at the little shoots coming out. Just a few months ago, just in the garden at home, and looking at the trees in the garden, and seeing the little tiny shoots coming out, and knowing that summer will be here soon. And here we find ourselves in summer already. The Lord Jesus draws this illustration. Men can determine when the summer is going to be here, but fail to determine that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth, and he's going to set up his kingdom. And all who trusted him in this present day of grace will be with him. All that have taken the opportunity to be saved will be with him in his glory and enjoy his presence and share with him. And we read together in the book of the Acts that those who refuse this day of grace, those, even though they can see, yes, there are definite indications. I've heard the gospel preached. I've seen it for myself upon the page of Scripture. I can tell just by looking at this world, there is a wicked condition of this world. Sin abounds. I know when I look in my own heart that I have a sinful, wicked heart and I'm not right with God. And I can see all these things. But I fail to take the opportunity. To trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And to miss out. And to meet the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, not as a Savior, but as a judge. And to meet the Lord Jesus Christ when he takes up the record book of his own word, which we've opened before you tonight and we've read together. And night after night, all we've been doing is taking the Bible, taking the record book of God's testimony to men and women that they need to be right with God, that you need to repent of your sins, that you must, God commands you, all men everywhere, to repent and to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. But men and women fail to do that. You know, there's men and women, we've read them together on the page of Scripture. There's men and women in hell this evening, who failed to take advantage of the day of grace, who failed to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And presently as we speak, they're languishing in the depths of that pit of eternal torment, waiting for the day when they will come before the Lord Jesus Christ, the great judge. And he'll take the very word, the word of God, the very words that he spoke, that were written down, that Len read to us night after night, that I've read to you night after night, the very words of the Holy Scripture. And you will be exposed as a sinner before God. And Christ will expose you that you missed out on salvation. What a terrible prospect for any person in this meeting. Could I say to anyone in this meeting this evening, and you're not saved and you know you're not saved, now is the time for you to be saved. As you sit in your seat, listen to the words that we read together from Acts chapter 17. God commanded all men everywhere to repent. God commands you to repent this evening. Yes, in your sins, you are a wicked being before God. I was a wicked being before God and deserve nothing more than eternal judgment from a holy, righteous, perfect God. But God offered us salvation in the person of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonder again as we preach the gospel that God offers us salvation. He offered me salvation. He offers you salvation. And it's all in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Has it not been made clear in these gospel meetings? Is the word of God not clear enough for you tonight, dear friend in the meeting? That you are a sinner, you're going down to hell, you need salvation, you need to trust the Christ of God before it's too late. Has it not been made plain enough upon the page of Scripture? Have we not read it together, night after night in these meetings? That you need salvation, you need Christ, you're under the judgment of God. You're in a position, my dear friend, which is awful, and that's an understatement. The only thing you can do is to trust Christ. Have you got there? Have you come to that point where you put your complete trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with this mindset? Well, this is repentance. I'm turning away from my sin. I'm going to leave it all behind. I'm going to leave the world behind. I'm going to leave its attractions behind. I'm going to leave everything behind. I'm going to trust the Savior. If it means I lose my job, I lose my job. If it means I lose my friends, I lose my friends. If it means I lose my pleasures, I lose my pleasures. But what come what may, all I'm going to do is to trust the Lord Jesus. You know, there was a young man just recently. He came to gospel meetings and he was seeking to be saved. Wonderful when a soul seeks to be saved. For the Bible says that when you seek me, says Jehovah, you shall find me when you search for me with all your heart. And if you seek God, if you're seeking salvation, you will find salvation, for God has been seeking you. And in the meeting, in these meetings, this young man was going to these gospel meetings. One night the believers saw him trudging through the rain just that he would get to the gospel meeting to hear the gospel. And the report came back. A week or two after the gospel meetings had finished, that this young man had been in his room, in his bedroom, 17 years old, a life before him, knowing and understanding clearly the gospel message that he was a sinner in need of salvation. He enjoyed the pleasures of sin. He did not come from a Christian home. He hadn't had the Bible read to him. He couldn't quote the verses, but he understood this at 17 years old, that he was a sinner going down to a lost eternity, and he needed Christ if he was ever going to be saved. You know what he said? I've actually got the text message in my pocket. I can read it to you on the phone. As the text message came through, and this was his response in the bedroom, alone with God. The Lord Jesus, as he spoke to him, he said, "You can do whatever you want with me. You can do whatever you want with me, God. Just give me salvation." You know, that boy got saved. He was prepared to leave everything behind. He understood this, that all he deserved was eternal judgment. And God, you can do whatever you like with me. Just give me salvation. And he was saved. And he is saved. And he will always be saved. He understood the very signs that were before him. He understood the very message which had been presented to him. Is there anything hard in the gospel message, friend? Is it hard to understand that you're a sinner? Well, for some it is. You know why it's hard? Because pride is in the way. Because they don't want to acknowledge they're a sinner. But you know, my dear friend, it's very easy really, isn't it? To understand that I'm a sinner in the sight of God. Understand that the wages of sin is death. All I deserve is eternal death. All I deserve is God's judgment. But if God, in mercy, sent his Son to a world my sin undone. The Lord Jesus Christ came, the very one we've been reading about night after night, the very one that spoke these words so graciously to the people. Just beyond this, he would go up the hill, Mount Calvary, bearing his own cross upon a bleeding back with a thorn-crowned brow, to go up Mount Calvary, to there be nailed to a cross. Why? So that he would bear the responsibility for sin. The Son of God, the sinless, spotless Son of God, who came from heaven, the innocent one, the one who is the absolute, spotless, pure, eternal Son of God. He came to this earth to take humanity with this divine mission that he would go to be nailed to the cross of Calvary. Why? Because you and I deserve eternal death. But he was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That all should be saved. He's not willing that you go down under the judgment of God for your sin. But if you reject Christ, you will. If you reject the gospel message, you will. If you prefer to go your own way, you will. But this evening, God commands you to repent. Why does God command you to repent? He commands you to repent for this reason. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Did we not read together in the gospel record of Luke and chapter 21 concerning the Lord Jesus Christ that the Son of Man will come in a cloud with great glory? He will come in power. It will be manifest to the entire earth. Every eye shall see him. Do you know, sitting in the meeting this evening, that you're going to see the Lord Jesus face to face? Will you see him as a Savior, or will you see him as a judge? Will you be greeted as a child of God? Friends, will you hear these words? Depart from me, ye cursed. I never knew you. Will you meet him with a smile? Will you see the smile on his face? You know, the first time I ever contemplated meeting the Lord Jesus and seeing the smile on his face was when my dear brother, Len, here was giving some ministry just after I was saved. And I was sitting in a little gospel hall down in Melbourne. And Len was giving some ministry. And he was encouraging the sisters. And I'll never forget sitting in that little gospel hall. And Len said, it will be worth it when you see the smile on the Savior's face. I've never contemplated that before. And as I sat in the seat of this little gospel hall, I wondered what it will be like when we see the Lord Jesus face to face. And we see the smile on his face as he takes his own child in and greets them and brings them into the blessedness of his presence. Will that be you? Will you see the smile on his face? Will you be drawn into his arms? Will you feel the tender touch of the one that you've longed to see and that you've served here on earth? And it was so worth it to leave my pathetic, empty, useless sin behind. It was so worth it to leave my pleasures behind. It was worth it. It cost me my job. It was worth it. It cost me my friends. It was worth it. It cost me the little trivial things of earth. Just to see him and see his smile. Or will it be that you would be found in the presence of one before whose face the heaven and the earth will flee away? And standing in the very space before the Son of God seated on a throne, a great white throne, there will be judgment. There will be no smile. There will be no warm embrace. There will be no invitation. There will be no tender touch. In that day, dear friend, having rejected the gospel, that day which God hath appointed, listen, listen, that day is already appointed. It's already fixed on the calendar. We can say the calendar, the divine calendar, God already has appointed that exact day in that moment of time when all will stand before the Christ of God who rejected the gospel. And there will be no tender words. The books will be open. The record books will be open. The Word of God will testify against you. You will be exposed as to who you really are. No, not that nice little person that helped the old lady across the road and did a few nice things for the people of Mornington. You will be exposed before God as to who you are in the core, that wicked, deceitful, ugly, monstrous creature of sin, a God-hater, one that despised the mercy of God. And God will determine through the person of Christ in that day that all is fit for you is to be cast into the lake of fire. Oh, what a terrible predicament. Is there a person sitting on the wooden seat here in Mornington Gospel Hall this evening that will stand before the Christ of God in judgment? Is there a person in the sound of the hearing of the Word of God this evening and you've heard the gospel preached to you? You could go outside and determine that the very summer is here, or the winter's coming, or the seasons. You could determine from the very trees and the bushes and what you see. Yet you've heard the gospel preached. It's been made plain to you on the page of Scripture. You know by your conscience that you're a sinner in the sight of God. You know you need Christ and God's salvation. Yet, for some reason, pass by the very cross for which the Lord Jesus suffered in agony that you may and I may receive salvation. What a wonder the Lord Jesus Christ, one who is not defeated by death, one who is triumphant over death, one, my dear friend, who is been raised from the dead. One who you and I will meet face to face. I'm longing to see him. Longing to see him. To see the one who died for me at Calvary. To see the nail prints in his hands. To see the smile on his face. To feel his warm embrace. To hear his tender words. To move into his divine presence forever. Just to be with him. To be linked with him. Is the very least. But you know, he's determined for the Christian that he will share in all that Christ possesses. He is determined for the one that has trusted him. He will be linked with him for eternity by his side. Is that you in the meeting tonight, or are you afar off? Do you need to repent of your sin? Do you need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you, as you sit in the seat, waiting that moment when you'll see Him as judge? Listen, God commands you now to repent. Flee from the wrath to come. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Be prepared to leave all behind. I want to emphasize that in this meeting. Trusting the Lord Jesus Christ is not believing about Him and going on the broad way, just enjoying the pleasures of sin, not really reading the Bible, maybe just pick it up to kind of know. If any man come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. Have you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you repented of your sin? Are you following Him daily? Is it time you came to Christ right now? You know you can do that, sitting on the seat. It's just a wonder. As we closed in the book of the Acts, chapter 17, we found three reactions. And there are going to be these three reactions in this hall this evening. They are the three reactions that you will always find to a gospel preacher. People will either mock, what a load of rubbish. Resurrection, Christ as judge, seeing His face, what a load of nonsense. And they will mock the gospel. And they will go out under the judgment of God. That may be someone in the meeting tonight. I don't know. I can't see your heart. Well, we're good at disguising things. Maybe there's someone in the meeting tonight, and really, it's just an attitude of mockery in the face of God. Or maybe there's someone in the meeting tonight and you have this reaction. I'll deal with it tomorrow. We just heard of someone invited to the gospel this evening. I'll come next time. Maybe there's someone in the meeting and you know you need to be saved tonight, but I'll come next Sunday night. I'll think about it when I get home. I'll wait till I get out to the car. Don't put it off. While you have breath in your mortal being, get right with God while you sit in the seat. Trust Christ while you sit in the seat. Speak to Him. I urge you now. Because the final reaction of those people was this. Some believe. And it gives the names of those that believe. It gives the names of some of those that believe. What a wonder. If your name was to be written indelibly in the book of life tonight, that you believe the gospel, that you trusted Christ, and that you were saved. May God help you to do that. Because I read verse 1 of chapter 18, and it tells us exactly what Len and I are going to do. There's a plane in the morning, and Len's getting on the plane, and he's going to leave Australia to go back to Australia. And in a couple of days' time, in God's will, I'm going to leave and go away from Dunedin. And we've been preaching the gospel to you for 2 weeks, but we're going to depart now. Would we depart and some mock? Would we depart and some put it off? Or would we depart knowing that you believed and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let's pray. Father, again, we give thanks for the preaching of the gospel. O God, pour out thy blessing we ask. Bless this assembly. Bless the Christian. Bless their effort. Father, bless the people. This we ask, giving thanks again, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Just take time to sing a verse of a hymn. You've been very patient. We thank you again. for your coming. 178. 178. Jesus is coming. Sing the glad word. Coming for those you redeemed by his blood. Coming to reign as the glorified Lord. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming, is coming again. Jesus is coming again. Shout the glad tidings of mountains and plain. Jesus is coming again. We're going to sing the first and the third verse. The first and the third verse standing, but we thank you very much for coming. If you have any questions or you'd like to speak to one of us after the meeting, please don't hesitate. But I urge you, don't leave until you know you're saved. 178.